human resources and employment law advice on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with the HR Suite, now part of NFP. Providing brokering expertise in commercial insurance, employee benefits, HR and health and safety.
And very good morning to Caroline Reedy of NFP HR Solutions. And hope you're keeping well, Caroline.
First of all, listener wants to know, can someone who's self-employed enrol in the pension auto-enrolment scheme?
Yes, it basically covers people who have a specific PRSI stamp. And as we know, there's lots of different ones linked to that. So I would say contact the pension auto-enrolment, make sure you have the right PRSI stamp. And yes, very likely you will be part of that. The fact that it's only in since January, it's still very new for a lot of people. It's obviously the new My Future Fund is what it's known as. So what it means is ultimately everybody who has the right PRSI class, and that being the key criteria to see if you're eligible to join, where you, your employer and the government will contribute into the scheme. Also remember, there's an automatic opt-out window coming, and in July and August of this year, which is 6 months after people originally were opted into the scheme, people will have the choice to opt out should they so wish, and they can do that via NearServe, via the portal My Future Fund. So definitely a very topical area for people at the moment, and one that both employees and employers need to make sure they're aware of. Lots of information on My Future Fund. If you go online, you'll get a lot of information in relation to it, or have a chat with your employer if you need more information as well. Obviously, if your employer has a company pension scheme, you're exempt from auto-enrolment, so that's the only time it won't apply.
The website is myfuturefund.ie, and you can call us on this information line, which is 01568 9555. That number again, if you've any queries about auto-enrolment. The number on the My Future Fund website is 01568 9555. It operates Monday to Friday, 9am to 6pm, excluding public and bank holidays. Can you ask, Caroline, can companies use age as an excuse not to keep you in work up to 70? Where I work, they gave me, with a struggle, a two-year extension.
This is an area that's really topical at the moment, Trasa, because as a country, we're definitely appreciating the fact that people are choosing to work longer, both for financial reasons and because they're in good health. And as a consequence of that, more and more people are asking, can they work longer? So we have a new piece of legislation that we're just waiting to be signed into law, which basically says that the employer can't put in a contractual retirement age less than the state pension age. So, for example, state pension age is 66. You can't ask somebody to retire before that. But in the query of your listener, they're basically saying they want to work up to 70. So anything more than that, you can request to work it if it's not a contractual retirement age. Either, even if it is, you can request to work on longer, and your employer must provide objectively justified grounds as to why you must retire sooner. And that's a big onus on the employer, because, and they have 4 weeks to go back and let you know what the outcome of that review is. So objectively justified grounds might be health and safety, but in most cases, the person can do their job safely no matter what age they are. And as we said, people are living longer, healthier, so it's more likely they're able to do the job. Other things might be intergenerational fairness. So in other words, if somebody doesn't retire, nobody else is ever going to get the opportunity for promotion. So those kind of challenges. But in the case of your listener, definitely, they've got a two-year extension, which will be reviewed probably 18 months in, and then they need to provide objectively justified grounds again as to why the person would have to retire if that person doesn't want to.
Now, back again to pensions, and I suspect this query does indeed relate to auto-enrolment. What are the rules about the pension? When can it be drawn down? What do we get, and how much is it worth?
It's your fund, so a load of criteria are going to influence that. How much money you put in, how much obviously is matched, is going to be relative by your employer, and also which level of risk you choose to take. So it's going to default to a medium risk or a low risk, depending on your age. So it's got a default setting if you don't actively choose one. But you can go in and actually choose one should you so wish. Each fund is completely personal to that individual. So again, you've shared the contact details there, Tras, at the start of our slot. So again, that would be the same contact details that each individual would follow up with to get more detail on their scheme. Obviously, how long they pay in, you know, what age they join, etc. There's so many variables that will be relevant to each individual. But a very good question for that listener, because I'm sure lots of people now that they are part of My Future Fund are starting to get educated themselves in relation to the scheme.
The website again, myfuturefund.ie, and that phone number to ring if you have a question about auto-enrolment pension, 01568 955, 01568 955. Someone wants to know, in what way is the auto-enrolment calculated? And also, will the pension from the auto-enrolment scheme be passed over to one's spouse if you die?
So the same question about how is it going to be calculated is depending on all those variables that we just mentioned. So that's ultimately the same scenario there. So again, it depends on all those different factors. And secondly then, if you die, it's part of your estate and it will be passed over. So, you know, whoever you have in your will, basically, that will form part of your estate. Obviously, if your next of kin is your spouse, as in the example given there by your listener, that will be passed over as part of that estate.
This query came in and I wasn't quite sure what this listener meant. Maybe you might be able to shed some light. Person said, I pay children and spousal tax, but I have neither, nor do I plan to have either children or a spouse. I can't opt out of this. What happens to this money when I retire?
I'm not aware of any tax linked to that, to be honest. I wonder, is it in a different jurisdiction? Because I'm not aware of in Ireland that we do anything like that. Anything that comes out of your wages needs to be clearly outlined as a deduction on your payslip. So I would definitely query that based on that listener's feedback. That doesn't sound quite right, really, to be honest, Tressa.
Yeah, maybe the person listening would get back with more information just to clarify what they meant by that. More on the auto-enrolment, Caroline. And I think you've already answered this. Hi, can we join the auto-enrolment pension scheme if we have a private pension already? No.
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you can choose. So if you have a private personal scheme, then ultimately it's not automatically coming out as part of your employer deduction. So you can then contact NIRSA, explain your individual situation to them, and basically they will look at that. Some people do have private individual schemes outside of work that they've been paying into, you know, separately themselves, but that won't be, I suppose, recognised as a company scheme. So again, definitely worth contacting NIRSA to get some clarity on that themselves.
And NIRSA, who are administering My Future Fund, the new state-sponsored retirement saving scheme, the auto-enrolment we've been talking about, that stands for the National Automatic Enrolment Retirement Savings Authority, which is a mouthful, which we shortened to NIRSA. But you're saying that you may have your own private pension scheme, but auto-enrolment, but you may still qualify if there isn't already an existing pension scheme in your workplace.
Exactly.
I get you now. So, I get you now.
That's what I'm guessing that the listener is querying. It sounds like that. But again, they can clarify the query for us. There's a few people, I suppose, that might be in that scenario where they're saying they either have one and they don't want to contribute to the NIRSA one, or vice versa. Remember, you've got to weigh it all up. Ultimately, I suppose, in your own pension scheme, you're putting in the money, nobody else is. In this one, you've got both the government and your employer contributing. And then there's a lot of people who have a company pension scheme as well. So if there is a company pension scheme in place for you and the company is contributing into that, ultimately then you're exempt from auto-enrolment. So that's the third kind of category of person that might be applicable to your listeners.
I'm 60, a carer, and work 7 hours a week. What's my story? Not sure if that is a separate comment or part of the private pension query that you just answered there, Carol. Caroline?
I would say this is a really good opportunity to remind people, based on the amount of queries we have this morning, how important it is maybe to get in touch with your own pension scheme and understand where it's at. And ultimately, anybody who has the auto enrolment now will have access to their own pension scheme. You'll be able to go in and check how is the fund doing, how is it performing. It's obviously very early days at the minute, so there won't be much to see right now, but I think it's definitely highlighting, Tracy, isn't it, that for a lot of people, maybe they haven't gone in and logged in to have a look and see what that might mean for them.
Listener says, I'm turning 65 in a couple of months. I've applied to my manager to remain in my position for a further 12 months. Others in my position or similar have been granted this 12 months, but they're only offering me 6 months with no valid reason for not granting me the 12 months. What would you suggest? Thank you, says this listener.
Firstly, the requirement in law is that your request has to be responded to within 4 weeks. So it sounds like they've met that first bar. And secondly, there's no timeline on it. So I would go back now and say, look, my request was 12 months. I've only got a response in relation to the 6. Can I get a full response based on my 12-month request? Because they are entitled to a response based on the full 12 months if that's what they've requested. So, and I think it's fair and reasonable for the employee to ask for 12 months because they obviously want to plan what their future holds for the rest of the year and knowing if they're going to, you know, be in employment or not. So I would encourage that listener to go back because the employer hasn't fully met their obligation by not giving a response to the full 12 months request. Now, arguably, maybe the listener now may say that they didn't mention a timeline in it, etc. So maybe there's the opportunity to go back and clarify based on including that in the query.
And if that listener is not satisfied with the response they get, to whom can they turn?
Ultimately, there's no obligation for the employer to grant the request. If the person isn't happy that they have, say the person comes back and says, you can have 6 months, but you can't have 12. Ultimately, I suppose they need to objectively justify why. And as we said, that's quite difficult to do, Tracy, because really, if the person is physically well and able to do the job, they should be allowed work on longer in the role. The employee, I suppose, has two avenues. One is there's that new piece of legislation about working longer if the person doesn't get a response within the 4 weeks. Secondly, there's equality legislation to show I haven't been given objectively justified criteria as to why I can stay on in my job. And that would end up then the employer needing to justify objectively that it has nothing to do with age as to why that is, which is a very difficult job for any employer to do. So I would hope that the employer would be more forthcoming in trying to see can they facilitate this employee's request. However, obviously, if there's concerns around ability to do the job, etc., they should be letting the employee know in relation to that. It shouldn't be a surprise to that employee.
Caroline, we're getting a lot of queries in this morning. Unfortunately, we can't get to them all. Our time has come to an end. But anything, Annie, we didn't get to, we will save for Caroline to answer with her usual expertise on next month's HR slot.